Now, as you know, this is one of the mysteries of the rosary. You know, we say Hail Mary as our spirit gazes on this event. You can cheat today, you know, like I did. I said my rosary already, but I mean, I said the joyful mystery so I could say this mystery. The depth of the love and of the wisdom of God, and the depth to which that love and wisdom can penetrate human beings, is opened up for us here. And at the heart of it, there is this offering that Mary makes, Joseph makes, of this child, of the very Son of God. So the meeting here, you see, is not just with Simeon and Anna, it's the meeting between Jesus and his Father in the temple. Now, in order that we can try to enter into those, you see, the church picks readings that open up aspects of this event, like the Smith-Jones thing, except it's a little more important. But so that the first reading talks about, it's from the prophet Malachi, as you heard, suddenly there will come to the temple the Lord whom you seek. Here he is, you see. And the messenger of the covenant whom you desire. Yes, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts, you see. And he is like the refiner's fire or like the fuller's light. He will sit refining and purifying silver, and he will purify the sons of Levi. There will be a priesthood which will succeed to Levi. It'll be the priesthood of Jesus. And he, as the whole, as we've been reading now for weeks, that's the whole letter to the Hebrews, right? Jesus is the priest. And he is perpetually offering intercession for us in heaven. That's his priesthood. And we are called priests because we serve him and through our own bodies and minds and make this reality present again. And to try to help us all get involved in it. Then the sacrifice of Judah and Jerusalem will please the Lord, as in the days of old. Because now the sacrifice will be what? It will be the act of Jesus Christ on the cross as he died. That's the perfect sacrifice. So Mary and Joseph are offering Jesus here. This is Israel giving back, you know, the gift. All throughout the New Testament, and particularly in Luke, Mary is Israel. She sums up, you see, that if we had a time for a long class, we could go into that. But this is what's called corporate personality, you know, the reality. We understand that in a way. The king of let's take the Pope, if the Pope were dragged out of his house and treated miserably and then killed, that's the whole church, isn't it? You see? So that's what's going on here. The Lord will come and purify his own temple. And all of this is taking place in the temple. And as you'll notice when we get there, it's all obeying the law of the Lord, the Torah Adonai. These are very devout people, these two. And they know the will of God as it has been expounded to them, and they're following it inch by inch. And God is working in the depth of it, transforming it. There's Simeon is there, an old man and a prophet. And he knows that he's not going to die until he sees the Christ, the Messiah of the Lord. So that's the first dimension of the mystery, right? The Lord comes to his temple, as it says in Malachi. And this one is, you see, is Israel. What do I mean when I say that? You see, where something is most intensely present, That's where it is. So in Simeon, we have this incredibly intense holiness. The Holy Spirit is on him, yearning for the fulfillment of God's promise. This is Israel. And he receives the Mashiach. And he blesses God. You see. Now the letter to the Hebrews talks about, you know, if Jesus had not shared our flesh and blood, we'd have nothing to look forward to but hell. The whole bunch of us, starting with Abraham and before. You see? Since the children share in blood and flesh, of course we do. We're all children, okay? Jesus, likewise, shared in them. You see? We did this the other day, too, remember? The importance of flesh to God. And so, Jesus shared in them that through death, if he didn't have flesh, if he didn't have a body, he couldn't die. If he couldn't die, he couldn't pour out life on us, eternal life. That through death, he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil. He broke that power. He said, go ahead, devil, do whatever you want, and when you're done, I'll rise from the dead. And that'll be the end of your power over death. Nobody has to be afraid of death anymore. Now we know what happens at the other side. If we're joined to Christ, we're going to be with him forever. I don't know whether it reminds me of this, but it's why it does. The English martyrs, you know, in the 16th century, and one of them was being brought up to, you know, be beheaded. And as he mounted the platform, he looked at the sun up there, and he said, I'll soon be beyond yon fellow. That was the way he looked at death. You see? Okay. And this is very important. Free those who through fear of death had been subject to slavery all their life. This, there's little deaths, right? Take a guy in an office and his boss says, cheat on that account you've got there. Well, it's a little death to get fired, right? So for fear of death, he's going to sin. Oh, we do this all the time. Somebody cuts us off in traffic and we go crazy. You see, it's a little death. Fear of being diminished in any way terrifies us. And so the Lord, yes, through this text, is saying, look, I've done that. I came among you. I had flesh. I died. I rose. You have nothing to fear. So imitate me. You see? And so, see, he did not help angels, but rather the descendants of Abraham. Therefore, he had to become like his brothers and sisters in every way. That's why he was born of a woman, born under the law, so that we could receive the Holy Spirit. That's what Paul says in Galatians, right? You see, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest before God right now. As we're here, he is a merciful and powerful high priest, loving us, presenting us to the Father, interceding for us, because he loves us, you see? He might be a merciful and faithful high priest to expiate the sins of the people, because he himself was tested through what he suffered. He is able to help those who are being tested. He knows what it's like, you see? So the second text, trying to get us to enter into this feast of the meeting, the feast, you see, are all these. And the church gives us this. And then finally we have the long narrative with all these tiny, tiny things. If you get a chance today, because I'm going to have to go fast now after the whole time I took on the other two, look at it. Look for things like law of the Lord, okay? Their purification according to the law of Moses, Mary and Joseph took Jesus up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, just as it is written in the law of the Lord. And they brought along a sacrifice. The poor don't have to offer a big animal. They don't have any money. A pair of turtle doves and two young pigeons. That's their offering, in accordance with the dictate in the law of the Lord. Do you see where love is? It's in obedience. This is the law that God gave us. We're so happy to obey him. The law of the Lord. And then you have this description. Now, I know I'm going longer than usual, but Saturday. That's why I'm so glad we have a feast day on Saturday. Because we usually have a Gloria, and we have three readings, and we have to run through everything, go to work. So, this was this man, Simeon, huh? Righteous, tzedek, right? He's just, he's righteous, tzedek. He honors the truth of every relationship, especially to God, and devout. And he's awaiting the consolation of Israel. What's the consolation? My God, because of their sins, they've been in exile, they're despised by everybody. These are Jews. And they're awaiting the consolation of Israel, the paraklesis of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. See, the Holy Spirit's already there. Who inspired Jeremiah? Who inspired Abraham? The Holy Spirit. But then at Pentecost, he comes and fills the world. One of the icons of Pentecost is they're all around like this, or kind of not a table, but like a table. There's a woman at the top. That's Our Lady, but that's also the church at the top. Then kind of under that scene, there's an old man. Sometimes he's bald even, and he's holding out his arms like this. That's old man Cosmos. He's receiving the Holy Spirit just like everybody else. That's why bread and wine and oil and water can bring divine life. Old man Cosmos received the Holy Spirit. Anyway, the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he should not see death before he had seen the Messiah of the Lord. So he came in the Spirit into the temple. How many times? Three times Simeon is described as relating to the Holy Spirit, right? He's a holy man. He came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to perform the custom of the law, again the law, in regard to him, he took him in his arms and blessed God, saying, "Now, Despote, now, Master, you can let your servant go in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you prepared in the sight of all peoples." See, this is a saint. This isn't just our people. Our people have the privilege of being the ones who give the world our flesh, Jewish flesh, for the whole world. And he sees that, you see? And so he takes the child. Mary, can I have your child? All right, I guess, you know. And so he takes this child, this holy man, and he sings. You know, we sing this every night. It's the last prayer of the day. "Now, Master, you may let your servant go in peace, according to your word." You already promised me this, you see. "For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you prepared in the sight of all the peoples." One day the whole world will see him. You see? A light for revelation to the Gentiles. This holy man, he shares God's preoccupations, doesn't he? This is a light for revelation to the Jews? No, to the Gentiles. The whole world will profit by this. You see? "And glory for your people Israel." Of course, glory for your people Israel. To this day, glory for your people Israel. Okay. The child's father and mother were amazed. Now, it's not that they don't have faith, but the things that they have been told are so huge. It takes a long time. That baby is going to be, you know, rule over the house of David forever. That's what the angel told Mary, right? What could that possibly mean? She believes it, but what could it mean? You see, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and glory, kavod, for your people Israel. To this day, that's glory for them, as is Mary. Okay. They're amazed. Now Simeon blessed them. Then he said to Mary, he has a prophecy. This child is destined for the fall and rise of many in Israel. The Mashiach has come. And now there'll be the choice. Accept him or reject him. It's not just Jesus. It happens to us too, doesn't it? Accept him or reject him. And you yourself, a sword will pierce. Now, I know I got to quit pretty soon. But see, Mary is Israel. There's a principle, you see, called corporate personality. And when we write books, we use those kind of terms. Wherever a reality is most in act, that's where the reality most is. So who is most Israel? Jesus. And who after him is most Israel? Mary. So you, Israel, all summed up in Mary, a sword is going to pierce you. And so, this one set for the rise and fall, out of, you know, the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. It'll be opened up. What are you really thinking? When you see the Mashiach on the cross, dying, the one who's supposed to lead Israel to glory and be the one who teaches Israel how to teach the world, he's on a cross. That's the sign of contradiction, you see. That's where the thoughts of many hearts are. I'm going to stick with you, Jesus, anyway. I know who you are. That's what Our Lady did, right? Right at the cross. And then Anna, another prophetess, okay? She's 84 years old, 2 years older than I am. She never left the temple but worshiped day and night. Do you see these holy people? You see this? She gave thanks and spoke about the child to all who were awaiting the redemption of Jerusalem. And he put the glory of your people. You see? So now they fulfilled all the prescriptions, and for the fourth time in this one passage, the prescriptions of the law of the Lord. They are obedient. Now they returned to Galilee, to their own towns of Nazareth. The child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom. And in our translation, as the favor of God. Well, the word is charis, which means the grace of God, the graciousness of God. Not only the quality in our spirit by which we share in God's nature, but the charis, the grace of God, the favor of God was upon him. So that's why the church gives us these things. You see, I know I took quite a while. I don't know how long I've been. I'm afraid to look. Not bad. I mean, it could have been better. But you see, this is a mysterion. How do we get it? Like that, inch by inch, pray, pray, pray. The Holy Spirit will hover over us, and this will open up for us. And our hearts will be aghast, you know. I've got to say one more word. You yourself, a sword will pierce, you see. That's Mary. But that's Mary fulfilling the vocation of Israel. This is probably an allusion to another text in Malachi. You will suffer because you, people of Israel, if you're faithful to me, you are unique. You're the only people in the world that know there's only one true God. And you got all your little old rules and regulations. You don't eat this. You don't eat that. You're weird. And they paid for it. The mysterion, you see, is this event in all its infinite depths. And it's a big event in the history of salvation. And it's a big event in the liturgy of the church. It's this, see, as you had in that text, of the Lord is coming to his temple. He came. But he comes now. And in 10 or 15 minutes, he'll be here in a whole new way. And if we can be like Simeon and just say, now let me go. I've seen you. I've just received you again.